Good morning, saints. This is indeed a blessing to be standing before you this morning to present God's word. Before I begin, I want to say everybody pray for Brother Obed that he have a safe journey and that he may come and rejoin us back here soon. For all the visitors or our guests that we have here, good morning. Welcome to the Southeast Church of Christ. We ask and pray that you and so thankful that you chose to come out and worship with us this morning. We ask and pray that if you have any questions, if you have any questions of what is spoken here tonight, I can be reached at the worship to address any question. Or if you have any question as to what we do here this morning, you can talk to one of our brothers and sisters in Christ who are more qualified than I to kind of help you with any questions that you may have. So please, my point is that please do not leave here with your questions unanswered. We believe in using the Bible and giving Bible answers to Bible questions. So this morning, my lesson, before I begin my lesson, I want to talk about some of the things that we have been studying for this quarter. The elders assigned this quarter is our relationships in Christ, a study of one another. And this past quarter, Brother Obed has been teaching on various topics and various examples to show our relationship in Christ. He used the example of family, how we should be a family as far as our relationship in Christ. He used the example of edification, how we should be building each other up and edifying one another. He also used the example, I think a couple weeks ago, how we should be fruitful, how we should be assisting each and every individual within the body of Christ in our relationship to be fruitful. You know, one of the things that I find in the Bible is that all throughout the Bible, God speaks to us in terms and examples where we can understand him. I know that, you know, I don't know if it was last quarter or this quarter here, where Brother Obed was teaching on parables. And he was teaching on the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. And when God uses parables, he's using parables to show us an example pretty much a heavily message. He's using an earthly example. For instance, he used a parable of a seed and a sower. And the reason why he uses this a parable is because a lot of people during that day were farmers, so they can relate to a seed and a sower. He also uses a parable of a shepherd, right? A lot of people used or had livestock, so everybody was familiar with shepherds and what shepherds do. My lesson this morning is going to talk about soldiers, being in the army or soldiers of God. Now, all throughout the Bible, if you are a diligent student of the Bible, you see that God always speaks in military terms. And those who have served in the military, we pick up on those very quickly. We pick up certain terms that God uses in the Bible, and we can relate to it being having military experience. This morning, we're going to talk about being a soldier of God. And it's important for us to understand that, because if we don't understand that we're currently in a spiritual war and that we are in spiritual warfare, then I don't know what to tell you. Right. So God tells us that we are soldiers and that we are soldiers of his army. And our brothers in Ephesus knew this quite literally, because Paul writes to them. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. I'm sorry. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10, the Bible reads, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Now, read this very closely in verse number 12. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So when Paul writes this letter to the church in Ephesus, they quite understood that they were soldiers of God, that they were part of God's army. And like I said before, that all throughout the Bible, even in the Old Testament, you see terms and you see things that speaks of being in a military of God. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Let me give you an example of what God is, as God is telling Joshua as they begin their conquest in the promised land. In Joshua chapter 1, starting at verse number 6. Joshua chapter 1, starting at verse number 6. It says, "Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto thy fathers to give them. Only to be strong and very courageous, that thou may observe and do according to all the law which Moses and my servants command thee. Turn not from the right hand or to the left, that thou may prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou may observe and do according to all that is written therein, that then thou shalt make thy ways prosperous, and that thou shalt be have good success." In verse number 9, listen to this. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God be with thee wherever soever thou goest. So we see that even in the Old Testament, now mind you, when God is writing this and he's talking to Joshua, they're about to go into the promised land. They're about to go in and conquer Canaan, and God is giving them instructions. He's giving them their military orders. He's giving them their commission to go in, and that they ought to be strong. And not only that, is that they ought to rely on him. Well, it's the same way with us, is that we have a general, we have a commander that we ought to follow. As a matter of fact, in Hebrews chapter 2, in verse number 10, the Bible says Jesus is the captain of our salvation. So we have a general, and this general, his name is Jesus, and Jesus is giving us instructions, and he's given us orders. Each and every one of us who are a member of the Lord's body, we have gotten orders from Jesus. And how do I know this? I know this because we turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. In Matthew chapter 28, starting at verse number 18, if those who've been part of the Lord's church for a while will understand what these parts of scriptures are. This is the Great Commission. Now listen what Jesus says here. It says here, and Jesus, again, Jesus is the captain of our salvation. He's that general. He is the general of this army, and we ought to follow his orders. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 18, listen what the Bible says. It says, "And Jesus spoke and said unto them, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." So we see that Jesus is already setting up the chain of command. He's telling them that, hey, guess what? I have all power, not only in heaven, but on earth, right? He's telling them that, hey, if I command you to do something, you ought to do it because I'm the general. I'm about to give you orders. And he's telling them that all power is given to me in heaven and earth. And the reason why Jesus can say this is because Jesus has just defeated the devil. He's just risen from the grave, and now he's given his army, he's given his soldiers instructions. Hey, I got all power. Listen to me. And listen to our instructions. That goes to each and every one of us in this room today. Listen to verse number 19. It says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things which I commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." Jesus has given us our orders. Our orders is to go out and preach and teach the gospel. Each and every one of us, each and every foot soldier that we have in this army, our goal, our primary purpose is to go out and what? Teach and spread the gospel. And what we need to understand that when we're preaching and teaching and spreading the gospel, we're spreading the good news. We're spreading the good news. In Romans chapter 10 and verse number 15, it tells us that this gospel is the gospel of peace. You may say, how is the gospel of peace? Because we have to understand that from the beginning, since Adam and Eve, God and mankind has been at war with one another. And Jesus Christ has come to build that bridge between the two. He didn't come to bring peace on earth. He came to bring peace between man and God. So our job as foot soldiers, as ambassadors of Christ, is to go out and preach that gospel. Make that declaration saying God wants to make peace with you. If you want to have peace with God, here is what you have to do. Here is the message that God has sent me as a soldier of God to go out and preach this gospel. So we need to understand, church, that as soldiers of Christ, our first and primary duty is that once we receive orders for our general, we have to go and do it. Now, a lot of times, you know, in my time in the military, I've had a lot of commanders. And if there were a time that my commander told me to do something and gave me orders, my job was to follow it. Now, that's physical. Now, what about our commander, Jesus? He's given each and every one of us orders to go out and preach and teach. Notice this in verse number 19. In verse number 19 and 20, it says, first it says, go out ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. But you just don't stop there. You don't stop with just preaching the gospel. Guess what? In verse number 20, we ought to teach again. That is soldiers teaching soldiers. We ought to teach one another, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So our job is to take these orders and go out and find other soldiers, recruit other soldiers. And once we recruit other soldiers, guess what? We ought to teach them. Don't you know that's the same thing that go on in the U.S. military? We teach one another. We hold each and every one of each other accountable. Ensure that each and every individual is following orders. Because why? Because it's a matter of life and death. But what about us? It's a matter of our spiritual death. More important than what goes on in our U.S. military. So we have to understand that we ought to teach. Turn with me to Acts chapter 19. Let's look at an example of this. Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19 and verse number 24. And there was a certain Jew by the name of Apollos, born of Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the ways of the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. And when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the ways of God more perfectly. Soldiers teaching soldiers. You see, Apollos, he was eloquent. But he was not teaching all the words of God. He was not teaching the right thing. See, it took another two soldiers to come, part of God's army, and come to expound unto him, to teach him more correctly the words of the Lord. And that's what we should be doing to one another as soldiers in Christ, is that not only are we ought to follow orders, we ought to help each other learn more about what God and Jesus, our commander, has instructed us to do. So not only are we ought to follow orders, but we also ought to walk in unity. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. I'm sorry, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. You know, one of the things that you know, what we do in the military and those who have served know is that we do a lot of marching, right? We do a lot of walking. Right, we do a lot of walking, and when we walk in unity. We walk in unity, and I'm about to get to these scriptures in a minute. But let me tell you about when it comes to marching. When you're marching, you know, you got somebody that's giving cadence, and everybody is marching on the same foot. And when you march, you can see the shoulders swaying back and forth. It's a rhythm, It's rhythm. And you always know when somebody is on the wrong foot because they start swaying the wrong way. They start swaying the wrong way. But if you're not careful, if you're marching next to somebody and they're on the wrong foot, they will get you off foot as well. So it's important for us to stay in unity. It's important for us to stay in unity. And let's look at these verses of scripture here in Ephesians chapter 4 and following. It says, Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein ye were called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called into one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Paul tells us that we need to walk worthy, meaning that as soldiers of God, we need to live our life as if we're followers of our commander, Jesus. Our life should be a walking example. As we're living this Christian life, that we need to walk worthy of what we've been called. We've been called by the gospel. We need to walk worthy of that. And he goes on to tell us how we do it, and that it all needs to be done in unity. So how do we do it? He says in verse number 2, he says, as we're marching and living our lives as these soldiers of Christ, he said, we need to do it with all lowliness. Now, when we talk about all lowliness, we're talking about somebody that's not high-minded, somebody who's humble, who's willing to. Now, when there have been times in the military that I have served, and I've supervised a lot of people, and I've run into some high-minded folks. And when you have somebody that's prideful, that is not humble, it disturbs the whole unit or the whole organization. So we need to understand that we need to be lowly. Not only that, is that we need to be meek. We need to respect one another. We need to be gentle with one another. And goes on and says that all with long suffering. So when we do this, we need to be patient and forbear one another in love. We need to put up with some things. You know, one thing that I loved about my time in the military is that if you look at the group of friends that I have throughout my almost 30 years in the military, is that they come from all walks of life. You know, I've had a roommate, and this is a true story, is that I had a roommate that the first time that he ever saw a black person was the time he went into basic training. He was my roommate, but we was thick as thieves, close. From all walks of life. I have some from the streets of Brooklyn, New York, some from the backwoods of Alabama. But guess what? We all walk in unity. Even though we have different backgrounds, even though we come from different walks of life, we all walk in unity. Why? Because our lives depended on it. And it's the same way in the church. We all, if you look around this room, we all come from different backgrounds, different stages in our lives. But we all must walk in unity. We have to, the thing is that, yes, we all have our differences of opinions at sometimes. Sometimes it's going to be hard. But we need to bear one another. We need to bear one another. And Paul goes on and tells us in verse number 3, he says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Then he goes and says, we all should be unified. Why? Because there's one body. There's one organization that we all belong to. There's no reason for us to be divided. He goes on and says that there's one Spirit. There is one Spirit that reveals what God's words is. The one Spirit reveals what our instructions, what our orders are. So how can we be divided? Then he goes on and says that you are you are called into one hope of your calling. We all are marching to the same destination. How can we be divided? He goes and says there's one Lord, there's one authority. We got one commanding general. There's no reason why we should not be that we should be divided. We should be unified. He goes on and says, one faith, one doctrine, one set of teaching, one system of faith that we all must abide to. Then it's one baptism. If you want to be part of this army, you come in. We all came in through the same way. It's the same with the military. If you're coming in the military, you got to go through basic training. So we see that when it comes to Paul telling us that we need to keep the unity amongst one another, that we should not be divided, that we all should be marching to the same beat. Now, God is something else, because I didn't tell Brother Albert to sing that song about marching to Zion. It's amazing that he sung that song this morning. And if you ever get a chance, read the words. We should be paying attention to the words when we sing anyway, right? Read the words. Listen to the words. We all should be marching through Emmanuel's ground. We all should be marching to the same beat. There's no reason why somebody should be on the off foot. Jesus is calling the cadence. We all should be marching to the same beat. And not only that, there's one God and Father above all, through all, and in you all. There's one. Seven ones. Perfection. Unified. Soldiers in God's army. You know, one of the things that I think I've told my wife and my son the story as how when I entered the military, and one of the first jobs I had when I came in the military is that I was a military policeman. Now, when I first went to the recruiter, right, I thought I was going to be an electrician. But he came to me and said, well, they got all the slots for electricians, so Mr. Brown, you're not going to be an electrician. What job do you want? And in the recruiter's office, they had this big old poster, right? And it's the poster of this guy. He's standing there in his uniform. He has shorts on and a short sleeve shirt. And it looks like he was stationed in Hawaii somewhere, because it was all beautiful, and he has palm trees in the back, you know. And I'm like, wow, look at that. You know, and he had this nice slick beret on, and he had a 9mm on the side. He was on a 10-speed bicycle. And I'm like, that's what I want to be right there. That is what I want, right? And my recruiter said, you sure? I said, yes, that is the job I want. And that's the job that I got recruited in. And a year later, I was in Minot, North Dakota, marching, walking around a missile silo, under 0-degree temperature, snow up to my knees. And I always thought back to, like, what did I get myself into? See, the recruiter don't tell you up front everything that you need to know. But guess what? In God's army, Jesus does. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Let's find out what Jesus tells us up front about when you enlist in this army, when you're part of his kingdom, when you're soldiers of his kingdom, what to expect. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 10. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 10, it says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is telling us up front, if you're going to be soldiers of this army, you're going to face some difficult times. You're going to face some persecution. You're going to face some struggling. You're going to face some suffering. See, it's different from the military recruiter. Oh, they'll sell you all kind of dreams. But Jesus, before you enlist in this army, he tells us right up front, because if you study the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is painting a picture of what a citizen of the kingdom looks like spiritually. He's telling us up front, this is not going to be an easy thing. You're going to go through some suffering times. You're going to go through some difficult times. You're going to face affliction. You're going to have to endure that. As a matter of fact, Paul tells us that. Go with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let me get there real quick. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse number 10, it says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, and a purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecution, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, in Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution." We're going to go through some difficult times as soldiers of Christ. If you ever watch any type of military war movie, war is not a beautiful thing. You see a lot. You see a lot of pain. You see a lot of evil things. And you go through some suffering. You go through some difficult times. And we need to expect that as children of Christ, as soldiers of Christ, that we're going to face some difficult times, ups and downs. There are going to be times when your world feels like it's turned upside down. But Christ tells us to march on. Why? Because he is the captain of our salvation. Because he suffered, y'all. If Jesus suffered, what do you think we should do? If our general has suffered and been through the fire, we should expect the same thing. So we need to understand that as soldiers of Christ, that we all follow the same lead, the same orders. We ought to obey the same orders. Not only that, is that we ought to teach one another how to adhere to those orders. Next, we need to walk in unity. All need to be walking to the same step or the same beat. And lastly, we all need to know that we ought to all be ready to face suffering, affliction, endure suffering. These are the three things that we all have related as soldiers in God's army. Each and every one of us. Now, there are times where I spoke about marching. Is that when somebody is marching and they're offbeat, the only way that they get back on beat is that they need what we call a change step. That is, skip. You skip and continue to marching, you're right back on beat. Maybe we have somebody in this morning that have been marching to the wrong beat. Only thing you need to do is skip, change, repent, change step. And let's get back on sync with all our fellow brothers and sisters that's marching through Emmanuel's ground. But maybe we have somebody here that have not to obey the gospel. God has given us instructions as to what we need to do to enlist into God's army. He gave us five steps. Five steps if you want to be a part of God's army. You need to hear the gospel. You need to believe what you heard. Then you need to make a change in your life. And like I talked about on Sunday, on Wednesday night, we need to confess as Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And lastly, to put yourself in God's army, to become a soldier of Christ, you need to get into the watery grave of baptism. And then, and only then, are you a soldier in God's army. But like I said, this is not a job for those who are weak. You have to be strong, just like the military and United States military. You have to be tough. You're going to go through some difficult times. You're going to go through some struggles. But it's all worth it. It's all worth it. So if you want to be a part of God's army, you can do so as we stand and sing the song of invitation.